So, in the remainder, so that you are most active, I am going to sketch the ideas, and it should be important that you yourself work with these models. So, let's look at a model. That is so the argument was that these columns, they are more or less inaccurate. So a curve like this, perhaps more to the left than like this, should be used. It is not important which curve we use, it's more the qualitative shape of the curve that is important. Probably we should start somewhat earlier and go like this. Anyhow, and there are of course always some random behavior. So you cannot expect that the number of attacks goes smoothly. Some weeks are, for instance, if in between is the Olympics, then probably the hackers are doing other things than just calling Nalaikmar to attack. They're probably watching television and so on. Or if they love cricket, and there is a cricket competition, then perhaps in those weeks they are doing less and so on. All these kind of things. The weather is fine, they are perhaps out, weather bad, they are home. So anyhow, we take something like this, because we are interested in the process of scripting. We are limiting the scope of our model now is considering what happens after scripting. So let's first forget of what happened before the scripting. Then, we assume there's only one hemp. It could be two, but let's make it easy. And we consider from here to here about 2 years time horizon. Then, one thing is very important when you're going to model something. You should have an assumption as to what could be the reason why this is happening. And if you have experience modeling systems, then you relate this to possible kinds of feedback. This is not the kind of things that you can learn immediately. And that's not the kind of thing that they expect you to do immediately. But I want to tell you how we would do that. And we call this the dynamic hypothesis, the hypothesis that explains the time behavior, the dynamics. So, reading the article by Arbo and other forfathers, they say, we found that automating a vulnerability by scripting, not just disclosing it, serves as the catalyst for widespread intrusions. So, we expect that there is a reinforcing feedback loop. If you have a script, that means everybody who downloads that can attack. And that's fun. The youngsters, that's what they like. Send it out and see that things happen in a book. So, we expect that there is a process of word of mouth. People are telling each other. They are trying it. More hear about that and try it. Reinforcing behavior. Okay? Then, another clue in the paper by Orbo is that defensive actions in terms of patching did not take off until late in the life cycle. So that's the strange thing, and that's still a lesson we need to learn. People do not patch, even if there is a patch, at least not many people. There are many reasons for that. Well, at that time, patching was something active. Today, you know, if you have Windows or other systems, you have some automatic patching. They have learned the lesson. People don't do it, so let's do automatic. But still, that doesn't mean that it is patched everywhere. So, for instance, in the offshore, they have such terribly complicated systems where everything is put together since the 80s, starting with programs that nobody knows how to modify because they were written in Algol and Fortran. You don't have guys like that today. So they are sacred cows. You like that? They are sacred cows. You don't touch them. You don't do anything with them. They are there, and we have to live with them. And they are connected with new generations, connected new generations. So you have a patch, and before you actually install it, you have to test it doesn't create problems in the old things that you cannot perfect. And also, in order to patch, You cannot just patch while you are extracting oil or gas or doing all the things. You have to stop. And if you stop the production in a platform, that means easily 20 million, 30 million, up to 50 million crowns per day. So they don't patch when the patches are available. They wait until some scheduled times of maintenance, and then they don't patch, but they rather test the patches. And if they pass the test and nothing bad happens, they use the patches. If not, they say, we have to live with this vulnerability. I tell it again. In the offshore, in this very complicated systems, they are not able to remove all the vulnerabilities. So what do? They do something that is bad. Security by obscurity. They put lot of firewalls on top and so that it's very difficult for attackers to get through them to the old systems. So far, it has been working, but we don't know if it will ever work. So there are a lot of complicated things. So the fact that people do not patch immediately can be due to many reasons. It can be due to not having time, or it could be done to don't see the danger, yes, why should they attack me? Or it could be due that if I patch, I better make sure the system will resist that, because it has some sacred cows that perhaps don't like that. Okay? So, this says that informing, which is called open disclosure works, the availability of patches prior to the upswing in intrusion implies that the deployment operation is woefully inadequate. And the way we would express this in terms of modeling is that there is a balancing loop. And this balancing feedback loop, the need to close the gap to correct, will be triggered by the threat. When they are seeing, yes, others are being attacked, okay, now we better patch. Okay? So, the next thing that we do is to break the problem into parts. So the first thing we model here is word of mouth. How hackers who haven't a script adopt the script and becomes hackers able to script. If you look at this model here, have you seen it before? Forget the names, the structure. Have you seen something like this? And that is which one? Yes, it is the virus model, which is, I told you, is also the word of mouth model, which is also the propagation of innovations and so on. And what you are seeing here is, originally, you have one guy with a script, the one that discovered this. And this guy tell this in some way, and those who hear it tell it in some way. So by these contacts, more and more people adopt the scripting. And then you have two loops. The reinforcing loop, adoption of scripting, and the balancing loop, as less and less hackers are left without script, the process runs slower and lower. And this model, we don't need to spend much time on it. It is the model, the virus model, with a different interpretation. The adoption of customers, customer adoption, that's basically the same thing. And you know how it behaves. And as you see, and that's a nice thing about the system dynamic models, once you have done different models, then you find pieces that you can reuse with some new interpretation. And that's also why experience in modeling is so important. Because every time you create a model, you understand and use it, you have added a tool to your workbench. You are getting, originally you have nothing, then you have hammers and you have saws, all kind of things. Well, they are not hammers and saws, but you are getting more and more tools that you can use, and more experience in using these tools. Okay, this model, you find it in Fronta. You can download it. It is shipped with others, and it is this model here. This one. It's called Hackers One. And it has everything there. You can look at it. Okay? So, we go next to the next one. the model 2. Now, we describe a different process, and as you see here, it is, for the time being, not connected to the first model. We have a model with two parts and they don't have connections. What do we model here? Well, here we are modeling patching. Patching means transforming hosts that are vulnerable, systems that are vulnerable, to those who are hardened. They are not vulnerable against this vulnerability. They are hardened by that. The way they do it is by patching. And there are two things that are here. On the one hand, that, and this is important that you listen to that, there are two mechanisms here. One mechanism is the transition, the patching, because some people patch by themselves without threat. They hear, there are patches, okay, we patch. And this is described by a certain time. When you see a fractional rate of something, this is the same as the inverse of a time. So there are two ways of expressing this. You can have a stock, you can have a flow out, which is influenced like this, and you have a time constant. And then the equation for the flow is flow equals stock divided by time constant. We have seen that many times. Okay? But there is a second way of doing that. Instead of the time constant, you take 1 divided by the time constant. And that you call a fractional rate. Like this. In such a case, the equation becomes stock times the fractional rate. Okay? It is the same thing. So it is your option what you choose. So here we could have had an average patching time or something like this, and then divide by that. So we have in process like this because people who are threatened feel the threat and they say better patch, and that is expressed by this. But you have a second process which is coming from above, and that is people who have been attacked and compromised, they have to simply correct the system, eliminate the virus or whatever, and patch. We can assume that people who have already been attacked and clear the virus or whatever will patch now, rather than just clearing and waiting that that attack comes again. So that's why we have two loops here, one which I didn't measure because it's the normal one, and the second one which is learned in the hard way. This is a balancing loop. And the model, you have it here in front as well. You can download it. It is this one. This one. And if you simulate it, you can put the curves and so on. Then you are here. 169. And you can see what happens to the vulnerable host. Originally a lot of them, but they are being patched and they become less and less through the patching. Okay? Then the next model connects the two. And what was lacking in the previous one is, how do these attacks happen that you see here? Well, obviously, it is from the hackers who can attack. So we have to connect these two models, and that's what the next one does. So the number of attacks must be related to the number of hackers who have the scripts. So what we assume is, to make it simple, hackers will, and the average attack with some frequency, and that makes this connection. And then we will have a probability that the attack succeeds. An attack, even if you have the script and so on, doesn't necessarily succeed, because after all, it has to be past the firewall and so on, all kind of things. So, therefore, the issue is we have some frequency of attacks. Once you have the tool, then you deploy it so often per time unit, and there is a certain probability of succeeding, which is this part. But then, success in attacking will influence whether people adopt scripting. If the people are adopting scripting and attacking and nothing happens, then it will die off. Whereas if they attack and they see success, they are going to boast of that, and that is going to lead to more people going to try. So you see, you have a connection like this as well. Now, if you go through this way here and follow, then this will be a balancing loop. You can follow it, and we call it running out of targets. And the reason is, the more people you attack, the less that stay in the vulnerable host stage. So everything else equal, you are attacking, you are compromising, but you get less and less and less people left you can attack. So that's what it is. And this model you can also download in VenSim, and that's number 3. That is this one. There are some equations and some number here, but now I want you to become active and try that, rather than my lecturing, and you will get bored if you don't try. Remember, you don't get a ski jumper or a swimmer or whatever by just watching. So, that's not all. The last step recognizes one more effect. Well, here are the results of the simulation. You can test that with the model yourself and so on. There we can see the hosts are decreasing that are vulnerable. The number of intrusions increases until they are start running out of targets. And the adoption of scripting, initially very quick, stabilizes towards the end because it's less and less interesting. Also because more and more hackers have already adopted. There are not so many left. Now, in the end, the patching rate that until now was kind of a constant, this is fractional patching rate. Would you expect this, the speed of adopting the patching, to be a constant? Probably not, because if you hear news about attacks, other organizations have had attacks and they were very costly, then you will feel that there is a need of patching. So you will be motivated for patching, or you will be forced to patch by the senior management and so on. So the next version of the model connects the intrusions with the need to patch by a perceived threat. And as you see here, this leads to a new balancing loop, which I call B4. It's the fourth balancing loop. Patching when danger is imminent. So you have two reasons for patch. One is because you are forced to, you have been attacked, you clean the system and you patch. And the other one is you are seeing that there is a danger, and the more you hear about intrusions somewhere, and note that here is there is a perception. It is not the number of intrusions that you see, it is the perception from that. That's the information that is coming to the mind. So we have to put in here perception delay. And that if affects the patching rate and so on. And that's the final model, and you have it also in Mensing here. So let's have a look at it. The fourth model. And this part here, you expect, if you put the equation in perceived intrusions, we will have either a smooth or a delay one. They are the same thing, just with different names. So let's look at it. There you see the smooth. So we are using the delay that you learned about. And now I think I have been talking enough. And it will be fine if now in the end, we have still some time left until 4 o'clock, if you look at these models by yourself so that you see what is inside, and then you can ask me about things. In the end, you should be good at understanding them. Perhaps you can derive them by yourself. Then I think we have achieved the goal once you practice this, of what we had that we should be doing. Perhaps we can have more questions, a question round. Yes, I think we have done everything. So this will then complete the lectures. But as I said, I would like you now to look in Mensing at this model, see if you can understand them. Perhaps select some portion of that and do it yourself, or even create a whole model, as you like. Does it make sense, though? Okay. Then you will take over. I am here, so ask me questions. Use it or do create some part of the model. Or if you rather prefer to experiment with delays, create some delay exercise for yourself. You could, for instance, create this model by yourself. So you could here, that is, by the way, the model that you see here in Fronter is the model that you have seen now. So you could, if you like, create these intrusions, perceived instructions with some perceived delay. Just take this part alone and put some test function for intrusions, whatever you like. You can experiment with very different test functions, not only with steps, not only with pulses. You could put, for instance, a curve that increases and see what happens, or a curve that goes up and down and see what happens. All these things you can do. Ah, well, okay. One more thing. Does this model give us the expected behavior? Well, you see that. That's basically the curve that we were going to reproduce, the number of intrusions, which is, has one hump and a long tail. So, qualitatively, it does. So, this is encouraging. We published this also. It was a paper that we wrote together. I had a PhD student that I asked him to work on this problem, and he came up with this model very quickly. It's not a difficult model, and also there were clear hints as to what to do. There are more models there belong if you want to explore and so on, but they get more complicated. For the time being, I am very satisfied if you... Okay. Then, when it comes to the second project, which we will have when? 7 March to... No, 3rd to 7 March. Okay. then that will be more related to these things, to simulations and so on. Okay. So you have the possibility of learning more by working together, asking me questions, whatever you like. Become active.